You would turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As we think about the Lord's Supper tonight, communion, the Lord's table, whatever term you'd like to use. As we think about the Lord's Supper, it's a memorial. I know we say this every time, but it's a symbolic ordinance. Just like baptism, that we as a church are commanded by Scripture to do in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ and the price that He paid for our sins. I remind you that it's a church ordinance. Just like baptism, you can't go home and baptize your kids in the bathtub. You have no authority to baptize. The church has the authority to baptize. By the way, I as a pastor don't have authority to baptize. I can't go home and baptize my kids either. The church has the authority to baptize. And we've shown that over the years where we have even allowed a few times those who weren't even on pastoral staff to baptize. Because you as a church could vote distinctly on anyone here in the auditorium. Whoever was a member of the church, you could vote them to baptize if you wanted to. Because we as a church are the ones with that authority. Same thing with the Lord's Supper. It's the Lord's Supper, and it is an ordinance that was given to the church. You don't have authority to go down to the nursing home and pass out communion to everybody. Right. Only the church has that authority. And so just it's just gotten a little bit jumbled up in our modern-day society, and it's something we need to be reminded of from time to time, that the local church, the church, is the authority, has been given the authority by the Lord. For the two ordinances. And there are only two, by the way. That foot washing stuff is not an ordinance. And so many other things that have been misconstrued over the years. Two ordinances given to the church. Again, the Lord's Supper is a memorial. It's a time set aside to remember the Lord's death and the body that He was bruised for us and battered and beaten for us and the blood that He shed on Calvary. The sacrifice He made for our sins. The world is just so full of things that draw us and things that pull us in every direction, and we live in such a fast-paced society, and it's good just to slow down and in a service like this and just take our time, be a little quiet. So, preacher, I don't like it when everything's kind of quiet. I'm kind of that way too. I want to be doing something. I want to be getting something done, sometimes quiet. But I tell you, as I've gotten older, I enjoy quiet time. I enjoy getting in my car and traveling a couple hours without the radio on or music on, just silence. It's amazing. And that's what it is like tonight, just to remember, to take our time, to take time out from everything going on out there, remembering the Lord and what Jesus Christ did for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and most of the verses here, but look at verse 23. Remember when they took of the Lord's Supper, when they took of the communion, it was in the upper room, just a few hours before He was about to die, just as He was about to be tried and all humiliated and all the things that were betrayed by Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane. All these things are about to transpire, and here He is in the upper room washing the disciples' feet and teaching them and telling them that He's about to go away. And it also describes there of them breaking bread. So look at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. And after the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, let a woman examine herself, and a child examine themselves. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. We'll stop there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we love you and we thank you. I praise you as we think about the sacrifice you made for us and the love that you expressed on Calvary. We thank you so very much. In Jesus' name, amen. Very simple outline that I've used many, many times, but we see first off that the Lord's Supper, number one, is an act of obedience. He says here that this do in remembrance of me. This do, it's a command. So it's not an option for the church, it's a command of the church. We're to take of the Lord's Supper, to take of the Lord's Supper. There is no specific time or given or how often. It's not found in the Scriptures. I know some, you know, do it every fifth Sunday, or some do it every Sunday. Some churches have their own ritual in which they do it, and but there's not a specific time. There's not a specific, way in which it's time in which it's done. So it's as often as the church decides to do it, and so but it is an act of obedience. And then number two, it's an act of remembrance. And I want to take a little time here, remind you that we are to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to focus on Him in our lives. And turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. The things of this earth will grow strange to dim in the light of His glory and His grace. We're to focus on Him as Christians, to live a life for Him. And again, with all the things going on in our world today and all the things that pull us each and every direction, the way in which you stay sane, the way in which you grow strength is by keeping your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, staying focused in your walk with Him, your walk with Him, your daily walk with Him. As you read your Bible, as you pray, as you express your love for Him in fellowship, this do in remembrance of me. It's an act of remembrance. It's an act of remembrance, the body that was beaten and battered and bloodied for us. It's an act of remembrance, remember the blood that He shed on Calvary, the loving sacrifice. By the way, His blood justified us. The blood of Jesus Christ justifies us. The blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ purchased us. The blood of Jesus Christ, as we said this morning, redeemed us. It's by His blood we are redeemed. It's by His blood we are justified. It's by His blood that we are washed. It's by His blood we are purchased. Because in the end, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It's an act of remembrance. Isaiah 53 and verse 4 says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." He was bruised and battered for us. His blood was shed for us on Calvary, that we might have life eternal, that we might have life eternal. Our sins might be forgiven. Can I remind you that we have a sin problem? Right. It's sin that what keeps us from going to heaven when we die. And Jesus Christ addressed the problem. Jesus Christ paid the debt, the sin debt that I owed. In trusting in Him and putting our faith in Him, He forgives us of our sins. And then thirdly, it's an act of praise and thanksgiving. We're giving thanks to Him. In verse 24, it says, "When they had given thanks, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for giving your life for us, that we might have life eternal." We ought to be a thankful people. A thankful people is a thankful people. Right, we live in the greatest country on earth. Amen. I know it has its problems, but still, the greatest country on earth. Right. What if you've been born somewhere else? Amen. It's God who, the Bible says in Acts 17, it's God who determined the times before appointed, the bounds of your habitation. God determined where you'd be born and when you'd be born. I'm thankful I was born in the United States of America. Yeah. I'm even glad I was born in Bowie, Texas, the big metropolis of Bowie. Thank you, Lord. One of the end times prophecies says that people become unthankful. But we live in that day, don't we? Unthankful. I don't know who it was, but yesterday when we were having the candy hunt, and wasn't as much candy this year. We're gonna do a better job next year. We got this. And one of the little boys, he must have been like 4 or 5 years old, didn't do as good as some of the other kids, and he's looking at his deal. He's just, on the verge of crying. And I love what his dad said. Son, you need to be more grateful. He used that word. I like that. Teach them young. We ought to be grateful. Amen. We ought to be grateful we got anything. Amen. Grateful. Grateful for what Jesus Christ did for us. Thankful. They gave thanks. And then number four, an act of testimony. And just as baptism pictures the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we are testified to that when we get baptized, so we testify tonight and do show the Lord's death till he come. Reminder, again, of the death of Jesus Christ. It's a confession of our belief and a remembrance that he is coming again. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you?
Yes,
coming again. An act of testimony. We need to be a light to a world that's in darkness.
Yes,
and tonight we just prove that we're Christ followers. Oh, you're one of those Jesus followers? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, I am. I believe he died and was buried and rose again for me. I believe his body was beaten, battered, and bruised for me. I believe he shed his blood for me and for you. Tonight we testify to that. The world thinks we're crazy. I'm talking about the world system out there. They think we're crazy. You're crazy for being here tonight and doing this. No. 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 I just put my trust in something other than education or philosophy or something other than even religion. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. By the way, he's never let me down.
Amen.
What a Savior. What a God we serve. I'm thankful I serve the living Savior. Then lastly, it's an act of examination. An act of, he said, let a man examine himself. And so let a man examine, let a woman examine herself. I know I did some bad English a while ago. Let children examine themselves. See, I know when I do bad English. You can email me. We ought to examine ourselves. Because it says here, by the way, in Corinthians, Paul is correcting this church. He's reminding them, hey, here's a lot of things you shouldn't be doing. Here's a lot of things you should be doing. And then he reminds them here, hey, you've made the Lord's Supper a drunken feast. Stop it. Right. If you're going to eat a big meal, eat that meal at home. You know, it's not a time to come and fellowship as we did last Sunday afternoon. It's a time to come to remember the body and the blood of Jesus. He said, there's some sick among you because you've taken the cup unworthily. And that's why we're about to do what we're about to do, and that's take and have an invitation. I want to invite you to come, and maybe this afternoon, maybe you didn't take the time to pray, but you ought to come to this time of communion with a heart that's in fellowship with God. That we don't take the cup unworthily. It's a time of introspection. It's a time of consecration, a time of renewal. And I want to encourage you to pray. Let's all stand, have a verse of invitation.